Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Packers game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. This is the big one. This is the one we've had circled on our calendars. It's maybe not the biggest, you know, most important game for the season for Green Bay. It's not a big NFC matchup. Packers-Eagles is going to be a big one coming up. Of course, Packers-Lions on Thanksgiving. But this is the emotional big one. Aaron Rodgers against his former team on Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh. This one has that big fight feel to it. You love these as a football fan. You enjoy them somewhat as a Packers fan. Of course, I'm sure there's going to be emotions for a lot of Packers fans in this one. Just seeing, you know, Aaron across from you, that's always a little bit weird. And, you know, this is just, again, a big game for this team where they haven't probably played their best football, if we're being honest, over the course of the last month. And now they go into a really difficult stadium to play with, or play in, I should say, against Aaron Rodgers. This is going to be a fun game. It's going to be an entertaining game, but it's going to be a very important game for Green Bay. It'll be interesting to see just how well they come out in their performance against Pittsburgh in this very emotional game. We're going to break it all down for you today. Really looking forward to it. The big news from Saturday, Christian Watson activated. He's back. There's no reason to activate Christian Watson if he's not going to play. They would have had until Monday if they wanted to do so. So this indicates that Christian Watson will be in this game. There's always a chance that you know, they could test him out and maybe it just doesn't feel right or something, but I think those odds are pretty slim. And I don't know what, you know, amount of snaps he's going to play in this game. Don't know if we're looking at just like 10, 15, 20. I imagine it wouldn't possibly be more than like 25 snaps, but whatever it is, whether it's 10 or 25 or anything in between, just seeing Christian Watson back out there, not only is it great for the team, not only does he bring another element to this offense, not only is it great timing with Dontavian Wicks out this week, but just for Christian too, the devastating injury a year ago, less than a year ago, which is really remarkable. And, you know, him being in a contract year this year and not having the ability to kind of play through that. He's obviously now signed the 1 year extension with Green Bay to put him into next year as well, but to have to work all the way back to get to this point, really excited for him to get out there. And like I said, is definitely going to bring another element to this offense. And it could not have come at any better time with Dontavian Wicks being out, with Matthew Golden being a little bit banged up, with Jaden Reed being out. Hello, Christian Watson. Welcome back. Guess what? They're going to need you in a pretty significant way. Again, whatever you can bring, 15, 20, 25 snaps, or whatever that is, give it everything you got, because those are probably some pretty important snaps in this game for Christian Watson and Green Bay in this offense, and just trying to get some of that big playability back into this Packers offense. Now, in order to get Christian Watson on the roster, remember, they did need to make a corresponding roster move because their roster was full. There was thoughts of maybe Donovan Jennings. Would they release one of the kickers? Ben Sims was a possibility. The final answer was Ben Sims. Ben Sims was released. I would expect that they would have a pretty significant interest in bringing him back in the practice squad. We'll have to wait until Monday to see if they're able to get him back or not. He could get claimed. If he's claimed, then he's gone. Even if he's not claimed, he could decide, hey, there's three tight ends here already that are in front of me. I would rather go somewhere else and maybe get a better opportunity. Now, he knows the offense. He's still really young. Green Bay's had him on the 53, you know, all these last couple of years and this year so far. So I would think that there's a good chance that he would want to come back to Green Bay. But again, we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that on Monday to see if they can kind of keep him in the fold or not. The only other transaction on Saturday, Aaron Mosby was elevated from the practice squad to the 53. He was last week as well, did not play a single snap on defense. He gives them a little bit of depth at that edge rusher position. You're only expecting to have four with LVN and Brenton Cox out for this game. And so he gives you a little bit of depth there if you need it. Also, he is a core special teams player as well, so that elevation does make sense for the Packers. That brings them, though, to a 54-man roster. Remember, 48 players active on game day, so they will need to deactivate six players. To help us get to those six, let's take a look at the Habish-Abishir-Otier injury report for this week. The injuries for Green Bay in this one, LVN and Dontavian Wicks are both out for this game. Questionable players include Warren Brinson, Matthew Golden, Brandon McManus, Christian Watson, and Devontae Wyatt. Now, some notes in regard to that. There was the possibility that Green Bay, in order to bring Christian Watson up, as we talked about, could have released Lucas Haversick. If Brandon McManus is 100% good to go and you don't want two kickers on the 53, that's a pretty easy way to get there. Lucas Haversick is still on the 53. That would lead you to believe that maybe McManus isn't quite ready yet and Haversick is going to be the kicker. It could also just be a game time decision and they want that insurance just in case. It could also be that they feel like McManus is going to give it a go, but maybe they have to see how he plays in this game and it could be an aggravation and they don't want to necessarily subject Haversick to waivers because they know he's going to get claimed. So there could be a lot that goes into that. But the fact that they're not just clearly 100% ready to go with Brandon McManus to the point that they felt comfortable releasing Haversick is at least noteworthy. And my guess would be Haversick kicks in this one since he's still on the roster. But we'll kind of keep an eye on that when we get those inactives an hour and a half before kickoff. Of course, we already talked about it. Christian Watson was activated. There would be no reason to activate him unless he was ready to go. So while he's questionable, he is likely going to play in this game. I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't. The other noteworthy sort of situations here, there was no defensive tackle called up. Remember, both Warren Brinson and Devontae Wyatt were questionable for this game. If both of them were out, that would have left you with Nasir Stackhouse, with Carl Brooks, and then the only other defensive tackle would have been Colby Wooden. So you would have had three defensive tackles only in that situation. There's no way Green Bay would have went into this game in that situation, which means at minimum, either Warren Brinson or Devontae Wyatt are good to go for this game. Of course, Devontae Wyatt is the hope, and hopefully he can play. Hopefully both of them are good to go, and then you can make that decision. But it means at least one of them is good to go, and they feel really good about that one, that there's not a re-injury risk or anything like that. So again, we'll kind of keep an eye on inactives for the defensive tackle position. But if both of those players were not able to go, they 1,000,000% would have brought up James Ester from the practice squad. So probably a good sign there. Same thing at wide receiver. No wide receiver was activated for this game off of the practice squad. And you can, again, do the roster math pretty quickly. If Matthew Golden was not able to go in this game, even with Christian Watson available and probably playing a limited amount of snaps, that would have left you with only Christian Watson for a minimal amount of snaps, probably Romeo Dobbs, Savion Williams, and Malik Heath. That would have left you with only four. There's no way Green Bay would have done that, especially with Christian Watson being one of those who isn't capable of playing a full complement of snaps. That basically tells you, knowing that Wicks is out, that Golden is going to play in this game. So if you were concerned about Matthew Golden popping up on the injury report on Friday, being questionable and potentially not playing, by them not calling up a receiver, that pretty much told you everything you needed to know that Matthew Golden is, in fact, going to play in this game. There's always a surprise. Sometimes things could tighten up on game day and you're never quite sure, but clearly they feel confident without calling up a defensive tackle or a wide receiver this week to potentially supplement some of those injuries, which again should be a good sign for their defensive tackles and for Matthew Golden. So let's do the roster math really quick. They need to have six inactives for this game. We know Dontavian Wicks is one. We know LVN is another. We know kicker will be one of them, whether that is Brandon McManus or Lucas Haversick. That we're going to have to wait till the inactives, but we know one of them will be a kicker. We also know two of them will be offensive line. No injury issues here, but of course they're going to go into the game with eight offensive linemen per usual. They have 10 on the 53. So we know Donovan Jennings is going to be one of those. And then either Anthony Belton or Darian Kennard will be the other. Last week it was Anthony Belton. Was that due to injury or was that because they liked Kennard better? We don't know, but one of those two, either, Darian Kennard or Anthony Belton will be inactive for this game. And then last but not least, that leaves one other spot. It's always difficult sort of figuring out that one other one. The other one would be, in all likelihood, either a defensive tackle. If Wyatt's not able to go and Brinson is, then Wyatt's inactive, or vice versa. If Wyatt is able to go and Brinson isn't, then Brinson's inactive. Even if they're both healthy, it could still be a defensive tackle, right? In that case, it would either be Nasir Stackhouse or Warren Brinson. Likely Brinson, based on what we've seen in the past, plus Brinson being a little bit banged up. But, well, again, that's the probable one. Or they could go with five defensive tackles because Wyatt and Brinson are a little bit banged up, and maybe they want a little bit more depth there. So I could see that. And if that's the case, then Kamal Haddon would, in all likelihood, be your other inactive. So Wicks, LVN, a kicker, two offensive linemen, Donovan Jennings, and either Anthony Belton or Darian Kennard, and then either a defensive tackle, in all likelihood, Brinson, Stackhouse, or Wyatt if he can't go, or Kamal Haddon if all the defensive tackles are good to go and you want all five of them active for this game. The big player to keep an eye on for the inactive list an hour and a half before kickoff is Devontae Wyatt. That's the big one. If he's good to go, that's going to really add to this interior of the defense. If he's not, it's not a world, you know, like you can't overcome it, I should say, but it's definitely one of the really big injuries for Green Bay that you want to monitor. And hopefully he's able to go and not just go, but really be an effective interior rusher for them, because he just has the ability to be a big time pass rusher from the middle, get that immediate pressure. And then when you've got Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons, you know, kind of screaming off the edge, getting that pressure from the inside is just so huge. And Devontae Wyatt's the best on the team at being able to provide that. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I get to make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right on those decisions can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Time to start getting ready for week 8. It's the big one. Aaron Rodgers faces Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. This one's going to be epic, and I'm already all in on Jordan Love in this game with a huge performance. Elsewhere in week 8, I'm going to go with big games for Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, and if he plays, Lamar Jackson as well. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Lamar Jackson passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup, up only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Guys, it's 2025. The days of going to the doctor for emergencies are over. No more waiting until walking it off for 6 months doesn't work, or your fingers are numb from texting, "I'm fine." It's time to take our health more seriously and get things checked out when we need to. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc makes it easier than ever by helping to find the right doctor quickly and easily. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are highly rated by verified patients. Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, and more often than not, you can even get same-day appointments. I've already had family members who have used ZocDoc and loved it, and I'll absolutely be utilizing it on all my appointments from here on out. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/packaday to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/packaday. Again, ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/packaday. For the Steelers, we know Scotty Miller is out. Their one questionable player you're really going to want to keep an extra eye on is Zach Frazier. He's their starting center. He did participate in practice on Friday. He was a limited participant. He did not practice the day before that. He is questionable in this game. I would expect that he plays, but that's the big one to keep an eye on for Pittsburgh. All right, let's get to our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this one. All right, maybe this one's just a little bit sentimental, or maybe it's because it's the last time in all likelihood we're ever going to get to do it. A Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game is Aaron Rodgers. Now, besides that aspect of it, I think he's also a very important player in this game for a multitude of reasons. We're going to go over the 12 keys and what we're watching for in this game in just a moment. But with Aaron, the first thing is that quick passing attack. Team so far, with smart veteran quarterbacks that can get the ball out of their hands, that can read the defense, and can utilize that quick passing attack, have given Green Bay all sorts of issues. That's big for Aaron, because that's what he wants to do. He's the quickest time to throw in the NFL. He's going to get the ball out of his hands. He's going to let his receivers and tight ends and running backs do the heavy lifting, and you want to make sure that you're trying to stop that as much as possible. So how he navigates this Packers defense, we know he's willing to take the short plays and the checkdowns. He's willing to paper cut you to death. And that's not been great for Green Bay so far. So for that reason, he is a key to this game. The other one is, how much emotionally is, you know, does this kind of weigh on Aaron Rodgers? Now, I'm not saying, oh, he's playing against Green Bay, so he's going to have a soft spot. Nothing like that. Does he want to put on a show? Sunday Night Football against Green Bay, his former team. Everyone expects this to be a big showdown between Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. Does he maybe try to do a little bit too much? Does he hold on to the ball a little bit too long? Does he force a throw? That's not very Aaron-like at all, but humans are human. And sometimes they make errors in judgment and mistakes and try to do too much. And I'll be interested to see Aaron's demeanor in this one as well. And if he does go maybe a little bit more big game hunting, does try to maybe do just a little bit more than maybe he usually would against another team, I'll be watching that. Because if he does, it might just be the break that Green Bay needs, whether he tries to do too much and maybe throws a pick, or whether he holds onto the ball one tick too long. And that's a big play by Micah Parsons or Rashawn Gary or Devontae Wyatt. Those are all things that we're going to have to kind of keep an eye on in this game. But for that reason, not to mention, of course, all eyes are going to be on him anyway. Our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game is Aaron Rodgers. All right, let's get to our 12 things that I am watching for this game. I know that is not an Aaron Rodgers number 12 reference. That is what I do every single pregame. But let's get to number one. All eyes on Aaron Rodgers. All eyes on Jordan Love. My eyes are on the running backs. The team in this game that is able to get their run game going quicker and efficiently and effectively is the team that is going to be set up for success. Both of these teams are run-first teams. They want to run the football. With Pittsburgh, they want to go run, play action deep. That's their ideal Arthur Smith offense. Green Bay, we know that they want to get Josh Jacobs established and be extremely balanced and get you out of those cover two looks. Now, Pittsburgh doesn't play a lot of, you know, too high looks, so we'll see how Pittsburgh comes out in this one. But they want to get you out of that, and then so they can throw aggressively down the field. It's kind of the same philosophy for both teams. Here's the catch. Pittsburgh's run defense is not very good. Even Cincinnati, whose run offense is terrible, got yards on them. But Green Bay's run offense, while Josh Jacobs has been great, the run blocking has been pretty abysmal. So you have an offense that is not set up right now. They want to run the ball, but they're not good at it. And a run defense that's not been good at stopping the run. How does that work? Which one comes out ahead in that matchup? And on the flip side, Steelers are pretty good at running the football. They use a lot of extra tight ends. They use a sixth offensive lineman a lot. They've got multiple running backs, including Jaylen Warren, who's a really good back that they trust. And they're going to want to get that run game going. That's what they like to do. For Green Bay's run defense, though, they've been phenomenal. Least rushing yards allowed, second least in rushing yards allowed per game. No matter which way you slice it, it's been near impossible to run on this Packers defense so far. Part of that is because Green Bay has leads in a lot of games, or in Dallas, it ended up being a little bit of a shootout, right? But part of it too is that Green Bay has been extremely stingy against the run. So whether Pittsburgh and their good run offense can get going against a very good run defense, or a bad run offense in Green Bay can get going against a bad run defense in Pittsburgh, that to me is really going to be a big differentiator between which of these teams is better set up for success, and setting Aaron and Jordan respectively up better on their offenses to be able to throw the ball, especially some of those throws down the field. So I think as much as we're going to make this about Aaron Rodgers and even Jordan Love, I think the running games are going to be paramount to success in this particular game. Number two, I will talk about a quarterback. We talked about Aaron, obviously, in our Luigi's Pizza player to watch, but Jordan Love, to me, is one to watch because this Pittsburgh defense is a crazy wild defense in the fact that they allow a ton of yards, they give up a lot of points, but man, do they get turnovers and sacks. It's going to be important for Jordan, who has a propensity every game to have a ball that is in harm's way more often than not, that he really does a great job of taking care of the ball. You would love if there were no picks. You can maybe survive one pick. It's going to be really difficult to survive more than that. So Jordan's going to have to have a great feel for this Steelers defense. He's going to have to make sure that he is confident with where he's throwing the ball, with vision on where he's throwing before he makes some of those throws. And ideally can be a pocket passer and not have to do too much outside of the pocket, laid across his body, some of that stuff where sometimes he gets into trouble. If Jordan puts that ball in harm's way, or puts a couple balls in harm's way in this game, Pittsburgh, knowing their defense, is going to find a way to take those away. and turnovers could be devastating for this Packers offense, especially when their defense has struggled to turn over opposing offenses, and you don't want to lose that turnover battle. So I think Jordan's decision-making and his ability to be safe with the ball is going to be huge for this one. Number three, we talked about with Aaron already, I'll just emphasize it again a little bit more here, is that Steelers quick passing attack. We know Aaron wants to get the ball out of his hands quick. We know he wants his, you know, playmakers to do the heavy lifting here. We also know that Green Bay struggled massively against quick passing attacks. And to me, this is not just about the corners. It's about the scheme. It's about what style Jeff Hafley wants to play. We've heard him say, hey, if you want to, you know, short pass your way down the field, we don't think you can do it consistently. We don't think you can put up enough points. Aaron Rodgers will take that challenge. I almost feel like with Aaron, you almost have to do the opposite. Now, you don't want to give him big explosives down the field, and you don't want to, you know, leave DK Metcalf one-on-one a ton, but you've got to pick your spots. You cannot just let Aaron Rodgers, you know, slice you and dice you with small passes, because he will take those checkdowns. He will take those quick throws. If you're allowing those, he's going to know exactly where to go, and he's going to take it all day long. So how Green Bay counters that and make sure that they're aggressive up against those short passes, but not allowing the explosives down the field while still being able to stop the run, that's the Rubik's Cube that Jeff Hafley has to figure out in this one. But it's going to be important that he does so, because again, a quick passing attack is exactly what Aaron Rodgers wants in this game. Just to piggyback off of that one, number four is the play of the Packers corners. I don't know of anybody that's trying to make an argument of like, oh, actually the corners are playing really well in Green Bay, or they're even playing okay or well. It's not been good enough. And I put that group collectively. I think Bullard, honestly, has been fine in the slot. I don't really have any issues with the way that he's playing. But whether it's Valentine, who I know barely played only, what, two snaps this past week, or whether it's Nate Hobbs, who's really struggled, or even Keyshawn Nixon, who's been sort of up and down, that corner group collectively has to be better. Through 3 weeks, they graded very well. The last 3 weeks, they graded pretty much atrocious. They were brutal. Which corner group shows up? Kelvin Austin's coming back for Pittsburgh. DK Metcalf's on the other side. It's not an easy day at the office, especially with Aaron Rodgers wanting to play a really good game in this one. Those corners have to be better. Nate Hobbs cannot have the day that he had a week ago. That is an opportunity for extreme failure in this game. So a lot of onus on the Packers corners. I don't care who's out there, whether it's Nixon or Hobbs or Valentine, they have to play better. And if one of them does not, if Hobbs has another game like he did, Green Bay's got to be willing to say it's Carrington Valentine time and give him that opportunity, because you cannot continue to have him play that way and expect to win football games. It's got to be better from the entirety of that corner group, but I would say even a little bit more on Nate Hobbs in this one. Number five is special teams. It's a pretty high one for me in this game. First thing is, Pittsburgh's got one of the best kickers in the league, and Green Bay is either going with a backup kicker or a kicker that's coming off of injury. That gives me a little bit of anxiousness and nervousness in this game. We talked to Nick Faribault on Saturday. If you didn't check out that episode yet, highly recommend doing so. And he mentioned that these returners are this close to breaking a big one. That scares the crap out of me. I don't want to hear that at all, because we know what Green Bay special teams is capable of, and it's never anything good. I would love if Green Bay special teams could come up with a big play in this one. That'd be great. We've also seen Green Bay struggle with block kicks, but we've seen a little bit of everything from this special teams unit. So I think this is a really key matchup here. And in a game that I expect to be extremely tight, the special teams could easily be the differentiator again, just like it was against Cleveland, just like it was against Dallas. They should have won that game. So I'm keeping a very close eye on special teams. It's not what we want to hear. We don't want to hear that special teams could be a big factor in this one. I think it will be, and that gives me a lot of concern over this Green Bay team, because I just have zero trust whatsoever in any Packers special teams basically over the last two decades for Green Bay. Number six is the play of the Packers offensive line. I don't know if you guys saw me post it on Twitter and on Blue Sky earlier this week. I posted my grades based on position, and like everything's in the positive, some well in the positive. Corners got it like a -2, and then offensive line's at like -9. When Jordan's been protected, he's been awesome. When Josh Jacobs gets any running room, he's been unbelievable. This offensive line is the differentiator. I know some of you are upset by the play calls. If the line just plays better up front, a lot of those play calls start looking a whole heck of a lot better. I need Elton to be Elton. I need Zach Tom to play like Zach Tom. Aaron Banks needs to start living up to that contract. Jordan Morgan needs to start playing like a first round pick. And Rashid Walker needs to start playing like he wants that 20 plus million per year contract in the offseason. The talent's there. I really think so. I don't think that they're maybe like one of the top five offensive lines in football, but they should be a top 10, top 12, really respectable unit. And they haven't been good enough so far. And against a Steelers defensive front that got that has TJ Watt and Nick Herbig and Derek Harmon, their first round pick, Cam Hayward, and a lot of other players that they can rotate in. Keanu Benton, former Wisconsin player as well. They just got Wisconsin players all along that defensive line. They're really, really dangerous. And if that offensive line does not get any for Jacobs, it's going to make it a really long day at the office. And if they cannot protect against TJ Watt and Nick Herbig and those interior defensive rushers, that's going to be really difficult. I don't think you're going to get into like Browns territory with how bad that game was, but don't get it twisted. TJ Watt can wreck a game just like Myles Garrett when he's playing his best. And I'm telling you, Nick Herbig is a nightmare to go against right now. Speed rusher. I'm very concerned about Herbig versus Rashid Walker in this game. So Packers offensive line needs to step up in a significant way. Number seven is crowd noise. I expect some Packers fans there. I really do. I still think that Steelers crowd is going to be extremely loud, extremely fired up, and make this a very difficult game. And we've seen this Packers offensive line really struggle on the road. They now have one win on the road, but that was basically a pseudo Packers home game based on how many Packers fans were in Arizona. And, you know, and the big one was against Cleveland. You know, Dallas, even a little bit harder to hear the snap count and had to go silent count. And those have been nightmare situations for Green Bay. So how Green Bay handles that crowd noise, going to go a long way in this one. We'll be right back. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code Packaday. Number eight is DK Metcalf. Yes, he hasn't been spectacular in like jump ball situations, which kind of surprises you. A lot of it's because he will just run by you. If you mark him up one-on-one, he's going to stack you, get the separation, and it's not going to be a jump ball. He's just going to be open. One-on-one with DK Metcalf is a potential problem. I said it earlier this week. If I'm Green Bay, I am focused on stopping the run like I have been. I am bringing my corners up, playing some press man on the outside, not making it so those quick passing plays are there, and I'm playing a safety over the top of DK Metcalf so that you don't have that option. I'm going to make tight ends win one-on-one. I'm going to make Kelvin Austin win one-on-one. And if those players win in their one-on-one matchups all game long, all right, I'm going to tip my cap. But I want to stop the run. I want to take DK Metcalf away, and I want to make Aaron Rodgers hold the ball more than 2 seconds. If I can do that, I feel really good in this one. How Green Bay goes about doing that will be interesting, but a big piece of that is making sure that you are containing DK Metcalf and not letting him be the one that gets one of those crazy 70, 80-yard touchdowns or ends of the day with 6 catches for 130 and 2 touchdowns or something like that. Metcalf's going to be a big impact player, and Green Bay needs to find a way to mitigate him as much as possible. Number nine is the Steelers tight ends. None of these tight ends individually, I know Freiermuth just had a huge week against Cincinnati, but none of these tight ends individually scare me all that much. Green Bay against tight ends has been awful so far. The tight ends every single week are catching like 6, 7, 8 passes and usually getting a touchdown. They've been extremely efficient against the Packers defense against tight ends. So to me, again, do I see a Trey McBride out there that I'm massively concerned about? No, but the tight end defense has not been good enough. A lot of zone defense, right? A lot of tight ends are made for sitting down in those zones and picking up yardage and taking some of those small receptions, which is what has happened against Green Bay. But Green Bay's got to, again, find a way to make it so that those easy completions aren't there for Aaron all day, and stopping the tight ends is certainly part of that. Number 10 is, what's Pittsburgh's plan for Micah Parsons? Now, they know how to go against Myles Garrett. They go against him twice a year, so they're going to have a plan in place. Arizona had a very bad plan in place to just say, hey, John Williams, you got this. Go get him, buddy. That's a bad idea. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be as dumb. I hope they are. I would love that if Micah got a ton of one-on-ones in this game, but I would expect you see a ton of chips, extra tight ends, extra offensive linemen, double teams, triple teams, whatever it takes to make sure that Micah Parsons is not the one that gets home on Aaron Rodgers. And that's going to be why it's so important for Rashawn Gary, Devontae Wyatt, and the rest of that defensive line to really step up and play well in this game, because I think Pittsburgh's going to do everything in their power to mitigate Micah Parsons. The easier said than done. Even double or sometimes triple team Micah Parsons is winning and getting to the quarterback. That's how good that dude has been. But Pittsburgh's going to have a plan, and then Green Bay's going to have a plan to counter that plan. Going to be a little bit of a cat and mouse, but I still expect Micah Parsons to have an impact, but I'm expecting that Pittsburgh's going to try to take him out in any way possible. Number 11, third and fourth down play calling on both sides. And this is, I'm specifically saying for Green Bay. I didn't think some of their play calling in some key situations was very good this past week against Arizona. And I thought on defense, it was even worse. I thought there were some really not so great play calls on defense and some of those must-have situations. Green Bay's got to be better in their third and fourth down efficiency on both offense and defense. And that's a way to get Pittsburgh off the field, to get the ball back on offense. And it's a way to keep your offense on the field when you're converting those plays. So it's the execution, but I do think there are some play calling opportunities there as well on both offense and on defense. Number 12, last but not least, how do both teams handle the emotions? And more specifically, and especially for Green Bay, how do you handle adversity, kind of the mental side of this game? I talked about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is like a crazy, wild game of swings. Pittsburgh, as I said, lost a lot of points and a lot of yards, and you're going to be very excited about that. But they're going to get turnovers and they're going to get sacks, and you're going to be very disappointed about that. So you might put up 30, but you might have two or three turnovers. And then it's like, all right, how do you manage that? And to me, it's how do you handle the emotions of those swings in the game? Not getting too high when you're putting up yards and getting points, and not getting too low when maybe there is a turnover or two. And then the big thing is, how does the defense, the Packers defense, respond to those adversity moments? When maybe Green Bay has been cooking, but now there's an interception or a fumble, and now the defense is quickly on the field. Can you get that adversity defense out on the field, get a quick stop, maybe hold them to a field goal and get the ball back and get your offense back cooking? You can't allow those quick turnovers to turn into quick touchdowns. So how Green Bay handles the swings in this game and the emotions of this game, I think is going to be highly important as well. So my 12th key is, which run game does better? Jordan Love, can he kind of handle the risk taking and be very careful with the ball in this one, at least as careful as he needs to be? How do you mitigate the Steelers' quick passing attack? The play of the Packers' corners. Special teams are going to play a big factor. Packers' offensive line needs to play better. How does Green Bay handle the crowd noise? Can you maintain and control DK Metcalf? Or contain, I should say, and control DK Metcalf? How do you stop the Steelers' tight ends? What is the Steelers' plan for Micah Parsons? How do you do the third and fourth down play calling and efficiency for both the offense and the defense for Green Bay? And then how do you manage the emotions and the adversity of this type of game? The line is currently -2.5 in favor of Green Bay. My prediction in this one, Steelers 31, Packers 30. I expect the Packers to be up 30-28 and the Steelers to get a last second field goal. When I say expect, I have no freaking clue. I can't pick the Packers every single week, right? What would be the point of making predictions if I just every single time said the Packers were going to win? I do think the Steelers do a lot of really good things that the Packers struggle with, which is why this gives me fear. The Packers haven't won in Pittsburgh since 1970. Weird things tend to happen in Pittsburgh. That gives me a little bit of a fear. They haven't done great in road environments and with loud crowds. That gives me a little bit of fear. Aaron Rodgers is going to be extra motivated. That gives me a little bit of extra fear. I know nothing when it comes to the predictions. You guys know as much as I do. I think predictions are a little bit silly, but for sake of entertainment purposes, I'll go with Pittsburgh in this one, 31-30. And I hope like heck I'm wrong. And you guys can all make fun of me in the comments the following day for picking against Green Bay. And I think the Packers have every right to win this game. I think they easily can go into Pittsburgh and pick up this win. That's clearly the hope. That's clearly what they're going down there to do. But I think this is going to be a challenging one. I would love for Green Bay just to completely handle Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh is that good. I really don't. I think Green Bay has every right to go in there and pick up the win. I think their record's a little bit inflated. I think we saw that against Cincinnati last week, but extra rest too for Pittsburgh. That gives me some trepidation. I'm going Pittsburgh 31-30 and hope like heck I am wrong on my prediction. Other games to watch around the league, Bears at Ravens, no Lamar Jackson in all likelihood in that game. So Chicago could catch a break there. 49ers at Texans. 49ers continue to play some pretty good football. They got to go into Houston and see if they can keep winning down there. The NFC is completely beat up on the AFC so far. So, you know, you would like some of those wins to go back to the AFC. We'll see how the 49ers do this week. Same thing with Cowboys at Broncos. Big game for the Cowboys if they want to stay in this thing. Loss to the Broncos gets them below 500 again. Of course, the Vikings already lost and the Lions have a bye this week. I will be live pre and post game show about 6:15, I would say, for the pregame show, 6:15 to 7:15, kickoff at about 7:20. So catch me live over on YouTube. And then immediately following the game, I will go live as well and answer all of your great questions, as you guys are so awesome with every single week. So check out those pre and post game shows live over on YouTube. Before we get out of here, shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, and Les Nienau. Enjoy game day, everyone. I will see you immediately following the game for a live post-game show. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go!